Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. Presented by even the Matadors, you are on. Once again with your boy, I'll be sure. And as always, I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
What's up, Albie and Jeremy? I'm excited to go from our worst position group to possibly our worst. So, did I say worst to worst?
Worst to worst.
Oh, it's been a long quarantine. Jeremy, say something.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be back podcasting again. Trying to knock off the rust continually. As you can see, there's still some left, but we'll get there.
We will get there. Hey, NBA players had to do three scrimmages before getting back into regular season shape. We're just going right into it, okay? So basically, we're better than NBA players.
We're professionals.
Yeah, you know, we're not like lazy LeBron. Am I right? Am I right? So last time we were on this here podcast, we talked about the receiving group. We talked about great star players like Eric Nzukanma, TJ Vasher, you know,
Dalton Rigdon.
And then we also talked like about, I wasn't going to say Scruggs, but I guess.
McClain Mannix.
But this time around, but the wide receiver group is going to be one of our best groups on the team. I think personally the best group on the team. So let's talk about a group that's not going to be as great. Let's talk about the DBs, shall we? So Dylan, give me a DB, a defensive back that you feel like is going to lead this group next year.
This is the year of, I talked about a redemption tour on the last podcast for TJ Vasher. This is Adrian Fry's redemption tour at cornerback.
There we go.
You look at his stats from freshman to sophomore year. I think he had five picks his freshman year at cornerback, got moved to safety. He was injured, had a club on his hand, but he had one pick and just wasn't himself. So I'm excited to see Adrian Fry move back to his natural position, cornerback. And I think it really will be a redemption year for him. I think he's going to hold that position down really well.
Jeremy, who you got?
Man, after 51 tackles last year, a sack, five pass breakups, I'm really hoping Zach McPherson takes a leadership role, even though I know Eric Monroe is going to be coming in with a pretty big head coming from a defensive school like LSU. Probably will want to kind of lead the team. Doesn't really have the stats to back that up. So give me Zach McPherson.
You know, you are the king of picking two players.
Oh, I'm just very, I'm a high contextualized kind of guy. I love stories, man.
I actually think that Dylan said the right answer. It's Adrian Fry. Because if Adrian Fry doesn't get back to how good he was his freshman year, this DB group is in big trouble, right? Big, big trouble. I'm going to go ahead and go with another guy that we got that's coming. I had an okay season last year, but give me DeMarcus Fields. I think DeMarcus Fields is kind of going to be another leader for this defensive back group. Fifth year on the team, fifth year on the roster. And by this point, if you ain't got it, I don't know what to tell you. So I think DeMarcus Fields is the guy. I know a lot of people, he's frustrated a lot of people in the past, But, like I said, it's his fifth year on the team. I think last year he actually had a decent season. He put up 54 tackles last year and had three picks, which was a career high for him for an entire season. So I think that this is the year he at least does as good as he did last year, right? Right, guys?
I think there's – if this was Family Feud, I'd be shouting, good answer, good answer.
Good answer. Feel good.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for DeMarcus Fields this year in the wake of Douglas Coleman.
How do you mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Douglas Coleman graduated.
Douglas Coleman ain't walking through that door anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Douglas Coleman has graduated, so someone's got to fill that hole because Douglas Coleman was the only positive for our secondary last season.
Right.
So I think there's good opportunity for someone like DeMarcus Fields.
There's good opportunity. Well,
this team last year, Well, go ahead and.
I was going to say, a good opportunity doesn't mean that somebody is naturally going to step into that role. We gave some concession to Adrian Fry because he had the club and everything, and they moved him to defensive back, or they moved him to safety. But just because, let's be a little realist here, is that just because we had this ball hawk of a defensive back last year doesn't mean necessarily we're going to have somebody naturally, I think, fill that role. Although I'm with you, I think DeMarcus Fields, of anybody, needs to be that guy.
To be fair, Jeremy, you were on Douglas Coleman's tip last year. You love you some Douglas Coleman.
I still love me some Douglas Coleman.
He almost led the nation in interceptions.
The dude was an all-star.
Yada, yada, yada. The team, the defense still sucked. But I will say this. So last year, we finished – let me get the actual official number here. We finished 128th in passing defense.
Out of how many? 130. Shout out to UCLA and New Mexico Lobos for holding down the fort.
Holding it down.
All that money, UCLA, and you can't buy a pass defense. Let's go.
That is a Chip. That's a Chip Kelly team, though. I mean,
yeah, that's a staple of a Chip Kelly team. No defense.
Hey, you know.
You know who was actually 127th? The Texas Longhorns.
There you go.
So, hey, but I'll say this, though. Unlike those three teams we just mentioned, this team got picks. This team was a bend, but also break, but at least get sometimes interception type of team, right? 14th in the nation in interceptions. Do you think this group can continue to do that?
No, because 8 of those interceptions were from Douglas Coleman. I'm just saying, the group outside of Douglas Coleman was atrocious, but I do think moving Adrian Fry back and having a senior corner like DeMarcus Fields helps, but to say we're going to have that many picks is, I don't know, it's hard to say.
Jeremy, do you think we can replicate 14 picks?
Give me 1 second. Just trying to remember his name.
It's kind of a yes or no answer, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yes.
Do you think they can do it? Jordan Brooks.
Jordan Brooks is...
Jordan Brooks ain't walking through that door. Xavier Benson ain't walking through that door. Douglas Coleman ain't walking through that door.
The obvious answer is yes for me. I think a big part of Keith Patterson, his pedagogy as a defensive mind, is to create a lot of turnovers, and he brought on...
All right, we got pedagogy on the podcast.
I'm so sorry. If that's too high for you, I'll dial it back, Albie. But that you bring on Derek Jones, who was over at Duke, who created a fantastic secondary there, and if you could do it at Duke... there's a chance you can do it at Texas Tech. So I think that this is going to be a team that is going to be looking for turnovers because it's at least admitting that its identity is pretty crappy generally as a defensive squad. But if we can create turnovers, that'll give us an opportunity to get ahead. And that's all you need to do.
I remember we said the same thing about David Gibbs, and a piece of me would rather just not give up big chunks of yards all the time.
Amen.
And settle for interceptions. Amen. Like, no, I don't know.
I'm totally with that too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'd much rather just not be 128th in pass defense. You know, there's that.
That would be nice.
I mean, we can still get interceptions and not be 128th. It's a novice.
That's true.
It's a crazy
error. That's the good news. There's a lot of room to improve.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
ooh, that hurts because there's such a small room that we could get a lot worse.
Well, with that room to improve, we're going to have to talk about some of the unsung heroes that we're going to need to improve, that are going to need to improve for this unit to improve. So, Jeremy, who is the one guy you think is going to rise from the ashes?
Oh, from the ashes? Adrian Fry, no doubt.
I wouldn't consider him an unsung hero.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
He's been sung.
But you said from the ashes.
Which is fair, because like his year last year was awful.
Was ashes. So an unsung hero for me would be Adam Beck. Great rotational guy last year, did his job, did not blow a lot of coverages. Feel like that's a lot to ask for these days for Texas Tech.
And again, cue the Family Feud. Good answer. I like that answer. Yeah, he was very versatile for us last year when he did play.
That is a good answer. Did he steal your answer, Dylan?
Kind of, in a way. Let's not call it rise from the ashes, but this is just gonna, I'm gonna make this my excuse to talk about the grad transfer, Eric Monroe. Really highly touted prospect out of high school. I think he's out of Houston, Texas. He was the number 9th safety in the state of Texas. So, like, what would be a huge haul for us. He's set behind some really good players at LSU, including the Prez, who just got traded to Seattle. And then most recently, Grant Delpit. So, like, he sat behind talent. So the reason he's going to rise from the ashes is because he never really saw time at LSU. And that's why he's here for playing time. So there's a good chance he steps on campus and he's the best defensive back we have.
Has more national championships rings than anybody else on our team.
There you go.
That's true. He's one more than everybody else.
I'm stunned he didn't go to Baylor, but we'll take him.
Honestly, yeah.
I mean, I'm not stunned when anybody chooses not to go to Baylor. The guy I'm going to say is Alex Hogan. I actually thought that Alex Hogan.
I do like that.
You know, whenever. Well, yeah, of course. I picked.
Well.
Whenever Alex Hogan was on the field last year, he actually, I think he didn't get a lot of opportunities last year, but when he was on the field, he always impressed me. I think he has great reaction time. I think he is a solid corner out there. And I expect him to get a lot more playing time this year, especially if Adrian Fry continues to struggle, right? I think Zach McPherson is going to have a good season at one of the corners. It's a question of where does Adrian Fry fit,
right?
Whether he's at corner, whether he's at safety, if they're going to move him kind of around the secondary. I think that if they do that, I think that's when you see a lot more of Alex Hogan come on some more. And also, just like we talked about with the receivers, does Adrian Fry fit with Keith Patterson's defense, right? You got, anytime there's a coaching change and a player off the bat that was good with the old coaching staff and it's no longer as good, you got to question it. You got to question if the fit is there. Now, I do think him moving back to corner is going to work, but if it doesn't, Alex Hogan is a name that we're going to hear a lot more of this year.
I think it's a pretty good answer, because if you look at it, I think between McPherson and Fry and Fields, like, you're going to need one more corner, because the amount of four receiver sets you're going to see these days, you're going to need one more corner. And it's either yours or Jeremy's answer. It's got to be Adam Beck or Alex Hogan.
It'll be mine. And you know why? Because I said so.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Okay. I don't know the reason. Jeremy went first, so he picked Beck. So I'm like, I ain't going to pick Beck. So I'm going to pick Hogan. So now Hogan has the ball.
God forbid we ever agree on something.
No, God forbid. God forbid. And you know what? You know what we can't agree on? The secondary was 128th in the country.
We can't argue science. It's just too real.
I don't know.
You can't argue. So I do have a question for the both of you. And I'll start with you, Dylan. Mr. Smythe, who is the player that you hope doesn't step foot on a football field this year? That is just trash. That doesn't know what he's doing. Who's the player that you're like, ugh?
Oh, this is a setup. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
And I want you to say, I want you to put your Twitter name right after you say their name.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this question at all.
You know somebody.
We literally talked about this in the last pod for the receivers. Are you not prepared?
Pass.
Pass. You can't pass? That's not how this game life works.
Call a friend.
I mean, is it because you have too many to choose from?
That's a possibility.
No, it's just there. Honestly, there's so many unknowns on this. Like, I was looking at our corners and safeties the other day, and it's like, who are all these people? So,
the
like,
Quantius Watts.
I could just, yeah, spew a name with the last name Watts, I guess, but I don't know.
So Dylan's answer is that they all suck. Interesting way to go about it. All right, Jeremy.
Interesting, the numbers back it up.
That's true. Well, the numbers say that pretty much 98% of them suck, but there's a small amount that don't. Mine would be Thomas Leggett. He's just been disappointing, I think.
That's it?
I give you a short answer and you don't want it? You want me to go on?
I thought Leggett was a great special teams player last season.
Yeah,
personally.
I actually like Leggett. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I actually think that he...
I think now, he gets pushed out since Eric Monroe's in. He's not going to start, but right. He was a great special teams player for us.
Well, I didn't realize we were talking about special. He just says, don't touch the field. You mean all of it? Or you just mean... I thought you meant like a defense
No, just a defensive player, a defensive secondary.
A defensive.
I actually think I like Leggett, to be honest, and I agree with Dylan that if he does, with him getting pushed out, I think Leggett's best in a kind of a rover position where he's floating amongst the field, and I think that's where he is at his best. So if that is the case, I think that works even better. But it's not. That's not my. It's my opinion. Isn't that he's trash? That is Jeremy's. So, at Germ, whatever your Twitter name is.
You got it. Germ Smite 93. That's it.
So for me, the guy that I used to be very high on this guy. I used to be very high on this guy. I used to think this guy was, you know, the next great Red Raider.
Quarterback.
Now in his third position in 3 years. Xavier Martin, bring that ass here, boy. Yeah, I don't believe in Xavier Martin at all. Like, I just, at this point, they're just moving him. They're like, can you throw? Okay, no, you can't throw. Can you catch? No, you can't catch. They, you know
what you do with the wide receiver that can't catch, Albie?
Put him to DB.
You put him at DB. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a quarterback that can't throw there. Move to receiver, and then it was receiver that can't catch. Move to DB. What happens if he can't defend? Then where are you going to put him? You remember in
on
high
the
school,
bench,
like, you, had that, you had that on awkward guy that played defensive end, but he was like 5'8", 140, yeah, right? That's where that Xavier Martin's getting to. Before, by next year, his senior year, he'll be a defensive end, right? Like, or a weak side linebacker, fifth string linebacker. Xavier Martin, that's that guy. I thought he'd be next to the next great Cliff Kingsbury quarterback. I was wrong on two fronts. Xavier Martin, just not going to do it for me. As we kind of are getting to the end of this podcast, guys, I got a quick question. I'm going to ask you, I just need one word answers from both you, Dylan, and you, Jeremy. Who is out of the secondary group is going to lead the group in tackles? Dylan.
Eric Monroe, safety, because it's our offense. We love to give up.
One word answer,
Dylan.
To
big up
one word answer.
Big plays. So naturally, the safety's got to clean that up, and he's the most talented player on our defensive backfield. So,
nah, Red Raiders never like to listen. Jeremy.
Oh my God, Dylan's answer made so much sense. the most tackles. I'm gonna go Zach McPherson.
All right, and I also am gonna go with Zach McPherson. I think he's a good tackle.
I think one of you should have picked Demarcus Fields. He was fourth in our team.
I was
solo
so
tackles
close
last year. Just saying.
I was right there.
Just saying.
Who's going to lead the team overall in pass deflections? Jeremy.
Adrian Fry.
Dylan.
From?
I mean, yeah, Adrian Fry. That's the answer.
That's it. That's the tweet.
Y'all are both wrong. Demarcus Fields. I really do think that he's the best corner on the team. I really do.
That's why he said it.
And who leads the team in interceptions? Dylan.
Demarcus Fields.
Jeremy.
Demarcus Fields.
That's 3 for 3. Demarcus Fields. Like I said, he's the best DB on the team. But I'll say this, guys, and I don't know if y'all agree with me. He's the best DB on the team. That gives us our lowest ceiling. Adrian Fry needs to be the best DB on the team to give us our highest ceiling. I don't know.
Please elaborate.
What's that?
Please elaborate.
So I think if Adrian Fry is, I think Demarcus Fields is what he is. I think last year he had an okay season, and he'll be a little bit better than that, but he is what he is. I think Adrian Fry taking that leap back to what he was his freshman year when he was just all over the field, when he was just a beast. If he goes back to that and goes back to being the star player that he is, then this defense, the secondary, can be a lot better. But if he doesn't, and Demarcus Fields remains our best player, best secondary player, and nobody else really steps up above him, the secondary is going to continue to be pretty bad.
That's fascinating, because I had a conversation with somebody about that, but I framed it like, I think we have a very flashy player in Adrian Fry who can create a lot of interceptions, at least what he did. But you also have like a very consistent player like Zach McPherson, who has shown that he can make the tackle when he needs to make the tackle, and he can block the pass when he needs to block the pass. But it's not like anything. But I think I'm going to start using that verbiage because I like high ceiling and low ceiling.
But that's what I'm saying, though. In that aspect, what happens when both Adrian Fry and Zach McPherson have worse years than DeMarcus Fields? Right? Because I agree with you. I definitely agree with you that Fry getting the interceptions and McPherson being the tackling beast that he is, and just, and he's also like Zach McPherson, also when he's at his best, you just don't pass to his side. He kind of has the receiver covered up. Right. But that's what I'm saying. What happens when both of those players struggle again?
Mm.
And then DeMarcus Fields, is, like I said, he is what he is. So I don't think we're going to have a situation where DeMarcus Fields is going to be any worse than he was last year, or that much better than he was last year. So that's where I kind of say this team, they need Adrian Fry and I like Zach McPherson as well. They need both of those two guys to be better.
Yeah.
And if they're not.
So your ideal scenario is that DeMarcus Fields is the average, is like the mean.
Yeah.
And then we
he's our third corner is what you're saying.
Yeah. If DeMarcus Fields is our third corner, or if a guy like Becker Hogan even steps up and he's our fourth corner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, this secondary is now all of a sudden having a really good year. But if DeMarcus Fields ends up being our best corner, it's
yeah, I'm with you. It's then rough. It's trouble. Tough year then for we're back else. At 128 again.
fight for our life with UCLA and New Mexico and
Texas. All right, if I can get Texas slander in here, I'm going to do it. But then again, Texas is looking at us like, at least we're not Texas.
I will say, I think there's opportunity, despite losing our best corner, to be a much improved unit this year.
I mean,
you can't really debate that we were 128 out of 130, but
yeah, like I don't.
There's always potential.
You want me to put my money on that? Yeah, sure, I guess.
Like, I'm just saying. I think
potential.
Despite losing our better corner, I'll say this: we will be better. Despite losing Douglas Coleman, we will be better.
Second year in Patterson's defense, and
Adrian Fry's back at his natural position.
Adrian Fry, yeah, we got Derek Jones.
That's true.
There's possibility.
So, I mean, after all we've just said, what is your season outlook for this group, Jeremy?
As like a ranking?
Just no. I mean, what do you expect from this group?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we gave up, you know, some like 300 yards a game average last year. My expectation for this year is we get that down to 250. I think that would be a massive leap for this team, especially for a conference like the Big 12.
Dylan, what is your expectation for the secondary group?
I think that leap is pretty optimistic. Like I said earlier, I think they will be improved, but by how much? My big goal, if I'm Patterson, is to bring down the yardage, bring down the chunk plays, and if you can do that, this defense is a whole lot better off, especially this defensive back unit will be a whole lot better off if you can limit chunk plays.
Play every game like it's Oklahoma State.
There's still really good receivers in the Big 12.
And really good quarterbacks.
Experienced quarterbacks.
I'll say this. I know we were 128th in passing defense last year. You know what's more important? Last year we were 84th in scoring defense. I actually care more about limiting the points. I think if we finish 128th again, but we limit those long plays. We don't have as many touchdowns off big plays like we did towards the end of the year last year. If that average goes from 30.3 maybe to, you know, 25 or 20, I mean, that's a big jump. But like, let's say 27, right? Let's say 27. I think that is where we'll see a big improvement on this team, right? Because if every time they give up a big play, but they get it they make a tackle and they only give up a field goal, I'm okay with that. And we were, Douglas Coleman was getting a lot of the interceptions that helped stop the bleeding last year. That does need to be replicated. But I think for me, what success will be from what I expect from this team is we're going to be better than 128th. I don't think we'll be better than 100th. And pass give up, I just don't think this team is that talented. Just point blank. I don't think the secondary is that talented. So I think we're still going to be in the 100 range, but we got to limit points. If we get down to 28, 27 points a game, go from 84th to 60th, then all of a sudden we may be cooking with something.
A bend but don't break defense. It's just not fully engaged, more or less. So you think, okay, so let's play with that scenario. There was four games last year we won by one touchdown.
Yep.
Do you think we get at least two of those back if we move up like you say?
That we lost by one touchdown? 100%. Like if just by doing that, 100%, we get at least two of those games. If not, who knows, even more than that. I mean, the Baylor game.
There it is, Texas Tech fans. Bowl eligibility lies in the defensive backs.
Oh, God. Well, we only got – oh, Lord Jesus.
Strap on in. Now. Put your helmets on. We're going for a ride.
When is basketball season?
Hey, I mentioned it before, but Eric Monroe, if you look at like his high school ratings, he's got to be the most talented defensive back we've landed in
a long
5 years.
We brought up Eric Monroe a couple times. Here's my thing with Eric Monroe. Okay, so I'll
lay it out.
Say what
lay it out. I was waiting for this.
Every player, how many times have we been excited about a former five-star player that came from a big university, came from Michigan, came from Notre Dame? LSU. Oh man, they're gonna come to Tech. Came from Texas. Remember that? Oh man, they're gonna come to Tech and just have a great. Oh, why didn't he play last? Oh, why did he have to transfer? Oh, no big deal. He just, you know, they just had better players there. That's all. But he has a national championship. Oh, he was a special team.
John Bonnie was good for us. Okay.
How many times has this happened? Where we get excited about a player who's said, I'm going to transfer to Texas Tech. Used to be a former five-star athlete that couldn't cut it at his previous school. I'm not saying Eric Monroe is battering like that. Eric Monroe could be a beast at Tech. But it's happened way too many times for us to expect a guy who used to be ranked high, who didn't get playing time at his former school, that all of a sudden we expect him to be good.
Spoken like a true Red Raider who's been hurt one too many times.
Well, hold on. One case in point. Zach McPherson is the only player that gives me a little bit of hope.
What the hell is Zach McPherson
for like recent memory? But we just said we don't need like where you say he's from.
What the hell has he done? Like, I mean, we just talked about Zach McPherson as a positive issue. Well, no,
but the point is that we don't need somebody to come in and be like this big Johnny Badass. We just need somebody to come in and play football.
We could use a badass in the secondary.
Zach McPherson's played football. We could use a badass. But we would be really happy as Texas Tech fans with having somebody who can defend a pass. Doesn't have to be amazing, but good grief, can we just get somebody to play defensive back?
Yeah, since Deshaun Johnson, our safety play has been atrocious.
Oh my God, miss that guy.
Lord Jesus. So I mean, I get Eric Monroe should be good. I've been hurt too many times.
Who hurt you, Albie?
Texas Tech football.
And if he doesn't, he's about to go through a freaking list.
Texas Tech football.
And hey, if he doesn't pan out, then you know what? Too bad. They're just another one for the trash pile. Whatever. It's not uncommon. But let's hold out at least, please, just for the hope that he can do something. At least until we're proven wrong or the season is trash.
How many games has Eric Monroe played?
Because coronavirus. Well, he's actually he was present in all the games, right?
How many games did he play this year? Does he play all ten games?
Oh, this
this upcoming
this past year,
this upcoming year,
LSU.
Does he play all 10 games?
Oh, you're asking? Yeah, obviously, because he's from LSU, and the coaches are like,
no.
You know what?
You know what's gonna happen here? 4 games in, he's gonna be like, I hate it here. I'm going back.
Oh, I thought he'd be like, breaks his arm. Going back, they don't want him back.
I hate it here. This place is terrible. Where's the crawfish?
Where's the gumbo? come to my house, Eric.
Is Jazz awesome still over gumbo. A little bit?
Yeah, it's just salty as hell, and it's a waste of money.
Spoken like a true Gulf Coast.
I liked Jazz.
I like Jazz, actually, to be honest. But, you know.
I liked it after a couple beers.
Wow.
Every
Not
now and again.
Not a professional chef, Jeremy.
Oh, you know.
I'm not a professional chef.
You know hipsters.
I'm just biased. You're right. Popular things. It's not even popular.
I thought it was pretty popular.
I thought it was pretty popular.
I got a dollar with my name on it somewhere in there.
There goes Jeremy.
Do you really?
I'm
going to go look for it.
Anyways, we got to end this podcast, guys. Jeremy, other than saying that Jazz is trash and that all the Tech players in the secondary are trash, anything else you want to say to the people?
Well, I had something in mind, but the way you leveled that, nope, I'm good.
All right, then. Dylan, anything you want to say to the people?
I'll say something to Eric Monroe. He was looking for barbecue on Twitter the other day, and obviously, like, the big hitters came out, Evie Mays and Tom and Bingo's, but I remember a little place on, like, 50th Street, I want to say, I used to eat barbecue at, called Eddie's. Underrated and solid barbecue joint in Lubbock. Yep.
We'll agree.
For the Frito pie. Get you a Frito pie at Eddie's.
See, and that's, you know what?
Rest in peace, the Shack.
If you listen to this podcast, because I know you are, because everybody in Texas Tech Athletic Program does.
just like Chris Beard. He's listening to this one right now. Friend of the pod, Coach Beard.
See, Dylan's giving you a practical college student choice. Everybody else is on Twitter giving you all these rich, expensive $40 barbecue places.
Hey,
right?
Evie Mays came down on their prices.
Have they? Mm-hmm. They were expensive.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but go to Eddie's, get you the Frito pie. It's like $7 or something. I do like Eddie's.
Exactly. There you go. Don't listen to these coronavirus ballers, these COVID ballers.
Hey, even Tom and Bingo's.
Listen to us stimulus package receivers.
Hey, okay? Hey, man.
All right, for Jeremy, before I actually exit out, follow us at Air Raid Podcast, por favor. For Jeremy, for Dylan, this is Albie. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.